Jesus Christ was a man that traveled through the land, hard-working man and brave. He said to the rich, give your goods to the poor, so they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Yes, Jesus was a man, a carpenter by hand, his followers true and brave. One dirty coward called Judas Iscariot has laid poor Jesus in his grave. He went to the preacher, he went to the sheriff, told them all the same. Sell all of your jewelry and give it to the poor, so they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. When Jesus come to town, the working folks around believed what he did say. The bankers and the preachers, they nailed him on a cross, and they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Now the working people followed him around, sang and shouted gay. But the cops and soldiers nailed him in the air, and they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Well, the people held their breath when they heard about his death. Everybody wondered why. It was the landlord and the soldiers that he hired to nail Jesus Christ in the sky. This song was made in New York City of rich mans and preachers and slaves. If Jesus was to preach like he preached in Galilee, they would lay Jesus Christ in his grave. Yes, Jesus was a man and a carpenter by hand, his followers true and brave. One dirty coward called Judas Iscariot has laid poor Jesus in his grave.
That was a song by Woody Guthrie, written and performed back in 1940, according to the YouTube description.
I'm going to need that cigarette.
We're talking with a man who's playing a guitar here out at the shopping center, but you notice the absence of benches?
Oh, yeah, and Mark said he's not getting any business. Why? Nobody can sit here and have a cigarette.
Tell me about the benches if you want.
We probably don't want peace to break out anywhere on the planet. And according to the Scotts Valley PD, there are certain people that are not wanted around Scotts Valley.
But they're
poor people, perhaps?
They're very harmless.
Yes. We're talking about people that are underrepresented.
So when were the benches removed that you remember?
About 2 weeks ago.
And where were the benches previously?
Every person that can have a cigarette break on their Knob Hill break. And I have never seen so many people sleeping on benches. I think it's Mark, the laundromat manager. He said, I'm not getting business anymore. Well, if you don't have a bench so somebody can wait for the laundry, why would you want to come here?
Now, were the benches pulled from inside the laundromat as well? Or?
No, there's 2 benches back there in front of it.
But there were bench. I see, but this could have been a... Is this a bench area here?
This is a bench area.
They were not staying on the benches during the day anymore. Apparently, Austin, the manager, said they come out at night. They need an overhang to stay from rain. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe every homeless person deserves a tent in the woods. I believe you don't have to sleep on freezing cold cement. I feel like I've met so many homeless people, I feel compassion towards them, that life does not exist of a 32 million trial for President Trump to impeach him when we could do low-income housing for people that are disabled.
Yep.
And that is what I truly believe in.
I concur.
Over.
I believe, though, there's a reason why the political situation is the way it is. Donald Trump was an outsider. They said that he was for the war in Iraq. So far, I haven't yet seen any evidence of such. Apart from a Howard Stern interview where he said, maybe we ought to take care of the troops. On the other hand, the establishment candidate voted for the war twice and said that she thought President Bush was bluffing. Now, right there, I felt that we needed another president.
I don't think we should have went to war over a terrorist attack because now we're their biggest enemy.
So we're going to get Trump out of there, but...
I think he's going to kill us.
Pence is just as bad, I'm
Pence
sure.
Pence is just as bad. Yeah.
So we've been talking with, if you want to say...
I go by the name Retro.
And you Ben?
I'm nicknamed Cricket. My name is Hyde Gerard.
Anything that you do want to say additionally? This goes out not only... We aren't broadcasting, but we are netcasting, so...
Yeah, well, I think that the homelessness of life in Santa Cruz is getting overrated by people that are on disability, that can't afford low-income housing, and that there's not enough there for them, and it's sad. You have people that will stay off the alcohol, the drugs. They come here hoping to live. It's just too expensive. The expense of living in Santa Cruz County is outrageous.
Retro, anything you want to add?
Let the homeless remain, and the people that can't afford to live in Santa Cruz County, let them move out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you.
That was a quick interview from February 1st of Retro and Cricket at the Scotts Valley Shopping Center, where the Scotts Valley Cinema is, and as well as Knob Hill Foods and various other stores. A little tanked, but they don't sound crazy or particularly unpersuasive to me. Let's turn now to the University of California, and let's go back to Monday, the first day that I looked in on the university with a couple of other Huff activists to see what was going on up there. I played you some of that audio. If you listen to the Thursday show, you can find it as an archive on the Huff website, Huff Santa Cruz, under the heading Latest and Lost Shows, if you want to listen to it, or you haven't heard it, or you want to review it. But here's some more from that period on Monday, the first day of the renewed Wildcat strike.
So I'm talking with...
Jack.
And Jack, you're with the COLA for All?
I mean, I'm part of that. Ooh. It's kind of a complicated question because of the labels, but certainly I've been organizing for the COLA campaign.
Describe for me what's going on here, what the issues are, and why you're here, if you feel like answering any of those questions.
Sure. We're here today because graduate students, in particular today, can't afford to rent in this town on the support package they received to be here to research and teach. I'm sorry, I'm finding it hard to like...
It's okay. In other words, what specific issues concern you that folks are... Well, they're holding up signs, which I can only see the back of. It's UAW on strike.
We will not submit.
What is it they will not submit to?
The submission refers to grades. The initial strike was actually a grading strike. So last quarter we did not submit final grades for the classes we teach or are teaching assistants for.
And you were demanding what?
We're demanding a cost of living adjustment, which is a payment of $1,412 a month, which would bring us out of rent burden. So to a point where we're not spending more than 30% of our income on rent. It's common that graduate students spend over 50%, sometimes 60% of their stipends or salary on rent. People living in all kinds of conditions. I mean, I've moved myself three times now in 1 year. Just trying to find a place that I don't have to take on credit card debt to subsist. Other people have, you know, been kicked out of houses, spent long times in their cars, or worse. And we just feel like if we're going to be part of a research university as graduate students, we need to be paid enough that we can live here and subsist without taking on debt.
Your plight and that of your fellow graduate students compare with, let's say, that of ordinary, the majority of students who go to campus in terms of the amount of income that rent is biting out of them?
For other students, you're asking? I mean, it's different for the undergraduate students. They're also in like very dire positions with particularly housing on campus, which is very expensive, but comes out of their student debt. So they are funding their housing purely through, you know, debt that will follow them for many years. Graduate student housing, like the people who live on campus as graduate students, also pay $1,200 out of $2,000 to live on the campus. But certainly, like, this is an issue that affects this entire community, as you probably know. And others around California, increasing rent is just going up far faster than our.
How long have you been on this campus?
Myself?
Yeah.
I've been here since the start of last academic year, so since fall 2018.
And where were you before?
Before that, I was living in Beirut, Lebanon. Before that, Australia, where I'm from.
You actually got a visa to get in, did you?
I did, yeah, I did get a visa.
I don't know. Are you a terrorist?
No, I'm not.
No, we've got to keep an eye on you. So what more should people know about that they don't know about this strike?
I guess they could know that while we're represented by a union, that union signed a contract that this campus rejected by 80% to 85% in 2018 because the terms of it just were not good enough to be living here as opposed to other campuses, other UC campuses around California. So we've had to go on the strike as a wildcat strike, so it's unauthorized by our union. We're taking a lot of personal risk to be doing this. We've already had a series of threats in both student conduct and through labor mechanisms from the university. But I just think it just speaks to the conditions that hundreds and hundreds of people are canceling their classes, risking their paychecks to be out here.
Fair enough, and we've been talking with?
Jack Davies.
Thanks, Jack. Treat your workers like you should. You see, you're no good. Treat your workers like you should. You see, you cannot. We can see your greedy side. You see, you cannot. We can see your greedy side. Folks are carrying UAW on strike picket signs. Others have homemade signs, mostly the UAW on strike signs. Over at a vote no on the recall are Tim Fitzmaurice and Chris Crone. And there are tables set up where people are refreshing themselves with muffins, bagels, various drinks, coffee, it looks like, and other num-nums.
With Jack, that was Monday morning. Later that evening, as I went to the Red Church, interviews for which I played on Thursday, or from which I played on Thursday, I ran into Keith McHenry, who was distributing flyers and had come down from the university. You heard some of his discussion of what happened in the interview I did with him earlier in the show, but here's an interview that happened the same day as the incidents at the University of California up on campus that he talks about.
So I bushwhacked Keith McHenry here. And Keith, you just came from the Red Church, but you've also been up on campus. What was happening up there today?
Well, there was several hundred students and a group of faculty and workers all came together to strike and block both the west and main gates for the morning.
And how did that go?
And that was a total blockade. And
cars didn't get through?
No cars got through, except for mine.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And that freaked the cops out because they were like, telling me that I couldn't go through, and then all the students just moved aside and let me go in. So that was beautiful.
And were there any other incidents with police you care to talk about?
Yeah, well, then there was public works people raking leaves and stuff, and they have like a blockade, and we talked to them and said, hey, we got to bring this water in. And they, oh, you can't, this is closed. They said, yeah, we can, we're going to just bring water in. So we did. But that guy called the state police, who then surrounded the vehicle.
Carrying water without a permit?
Yep, and so it was a really brutal situation. And
did you get hit?
I didn't. I got pushed, but people were hit, and a lot of people tried to block the...
This is the north entrance?
This is the north entrance, yeah.
And the reason the police were concerned about water coming in was...
That they had had... They were trying to keep materials from getting in so that it would, you know, help reduce the longevity of people protesting.
Are people planning to camp out there tonight? Or
there probably is people going to camp out there tonight.
We're talking about it right where the High Street meets
High Street, yeah.
Where is this blockade happening? You said you were, when I spoke to you earlier today, you said that there was a blockade, so let's say an ordinary person couldn't drive through.
Oh, yeah, turns out you can't go through within, like, so they channel you away a couple of streets before you get to High Street on Bay. They channel you away way down on High Street before you get to Bay. They channel you away coming down from Bonnie Doon. That they won't let you get to High Street down High Street there. You got to go back the other way.
So it's mainly from the city, or it's also from the campus.
And then when they finally opened the west side, you could go in the campus and all the way around. That's what they told me to do. And then when I got to then I got to a blockade there, so I couldn't go there either. So that was the end of that. So I had to get people to walk all this stuff in.
Anything else you want to report about that in terms of how broad was city support for this? Obviously, there are many, many students.
Well, there was basically Chris Krohn was there.
That was and the, so was Fitzmaurice, for that matter.
Oh, was he there?
Earlier today.
Oh, he must have been there before.
I was there before you. I got there around 7:30.
Oh, yeah, I was there at like 11:30. So, and the food went really fast. We way underestimated the amount of food needed.
Tim Fitzmaurice, as those who are longtime listeners or longtime Santa Cruzans may know, was a council member who ran on a progressive slate with Krohn and Keith Sugar to join Catherine Byers as a supposedly progressive majority in the election victory of 1998, but then Fitzmaurice quickly turned the other way and became very repressive toward homeless people in terms of favoring the sleeping ban, increasing crackdowns on homeless activists at city council itself. He was famous for his supporting of a lawsuit against the three of us. I was one of the three. And even more famous for instigating famous in my book, maybe not for most people, for instigating an 11-year, $200,000 court battle around the issue of a silent mock Nazi salute at city council. More important than any of that, however, are his votes around issues such as the move-along law on Pacific Avenue and other anti-homeless ordinances that he endorsed, even though he came in as a so-called progressive, which is not really that surprising and that unusual. We've seen that happen with Justin Cummings, for instance, but it's kind of what it is. He's also running for a seat if one of the council members is Glover and Krohn is recalled. He's either fighting Rene Golder, who's an outspokenly reactionary candidate, or he's running on this against her in the sense that if those are the two candidates running, and I think Catherine Byers is running against Don Lane. All of these people are bad. Some are just worse than others. And they'll be picking over the bones of Krohn and Glover if they lose, as, well, could well be the case. But the struggle continues around that issue. There is continuing canvassing going on. If you're interested in being a part of the Fight the Recall campaign, you can show up at the Tabby Cat Cafe down on Cedar Street. Every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 12, they go out and canvas, knock on doors, and encourage people to just say no to the recall. And yes to Glover and Krohn. UCSC Monday description by Keith McHenry.
The water went really fast. We went through, I guess five-gallon containers of water.
You left there about what time?
I left at about 4 o'clock.
Did people seem to be readying to spend the night there?
I couldn't really tell. I was.
No tents were up?
There were a couple of tents, yeah.
Okay.
And some canopies and stuff like that. I don't know what the plans are. But
and you're off to a Food Not Bombs
I'm
meeting.
I'm going to a meeting, yeah. So okay. 6 o'clock. Yeah.
Any events you want to announce?
The May 24th Soup Stock Food Not Bombs Art and Music Festival at San Lorenzo Park all day.
And will be costing how much to get in?
Free to go to that. That's what I'm going to plan right now. So,
cool. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much. We've been talking with
Keith with Food Not Bombs and the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless.
Information to be found at
foodnotbombs.net.
As far as events go, there are some coming up tomorrow. There's presumably it's, as I said, Führer's Day, you know, President's Day, as some like to call the great office of the presidency here in this country. There's the Red Church having its meal. I believe they're doing their same meal at 6 o'clock on tomorrow, on Monday. On Tuesday, there's going to be a meeting of the Catch Cover-Up Committee. That's the, or it's sort of the cover the ass of the council committee. Sort of the, call it the CAC committee, cover the ass of the council, CAC, which is the supposedly advisory group set up by essentially non-homeless and containing non-homeless people who are researching just what these homeless people need and want, rather than, you know, actually dealing with the obvious long-standing issues of shelter, criminalization, bathrooms, storage, and so forth. The obvious things, which the city council, even though it's well-funded this year, is ignoring. And, of course, those who want to raise these issues, like Glover and Crone, to a lesser extent Brown, are, two of them at least, are being recalled, censured, and mightily and very powerfully denounced by the old guard, which wishes to maintain the old-time business as usual, which they're trying to do. Wednesday morning, we have a sort of a junior version of the old-time coffee clatch, which I was a part of, 20 years ago at City Hall in the winter of 2000-2001, when Tim Fitzmaurice, who I mentioned earlier, was mayor. He was the green mayor. He was very green, made us all kind of green about the gills, but he was a Green Party mayor who actually was betraying the Green Party's plank on homeless issues, and we were trying to get homeless people to encourage him to return to the to be faithful to the Green Party's platform about ending the criminalization of people outside and ending the sleeping ban, setting up some significant they didn't call them warming centers back then, or at least that word term wasn't used, but shelter for people who wanted it. And we invited people to come have coffee in the morning right outside Mayor Tim's offices, and then go in and try to talk to him, make an appointment with him. Of course, he didn't want to make appointments, so we would just sit there all day waiting to make appointments and serving coffee to people who came. Eventually, we were taken to court for that because the secretary, Anna Brooks, insisted we were stealing food and pencils and things of that sort, which we weren't, but they didn't like us there, and they were designing and devising ways to get rid of us, which they did for a period of months because there was a long stalled court process. In the end, all those, the civil lawsuit which the city filed against us was dismissed. Now, that's not likely to happen again because this is a much smaller effort. It's going to be just a couple of us, maybe more, who will be outside the city council chambers on Wednesday morning at 7:30, when folks who are coming out of the shelters, the Laurel Street shelter, run by the Salvation Army, I guess they come out a little earlier, but they may be showing up at City Hall as we raise issues, and if they hear about this, and offering, we're going to offer them coffee and whatever we can to present their concerns to, I think we're focusing on city manager Martin Bernal. They're going to ask for an appointment to talk to Martin Bernal. And if that doesn't work, to Mayor Cummings. And if that doesn't work, Assistant City Manager Susie O'Hara. Hey, we want to talk to anyone in positions of power who can do something to give us some straight talk as to why the city isn't setting up campgrounds as requested by the governor, at least in terms of setting aside property that's been used, could be used for that, such as the old Ross Camp. So that's coming up 7:30 on Wednesday morning. At noon on Wednesday, there's going to be a Huff meeting at the Sub Rosa, where, again, we'll be whipping out the coffee and figuring out what to do next. And then 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, at the Resource Center for Nonviolence on Ocean Street, there's going to be another resistance forum, which the Union of the Homeless is throwing on defending encampments, updating legal strategies and organizing strategies, and finding ways to stand up to police harassment. That's three events on Wednesday. Sounds kind of tiring. And then on Thursday, of course, you'll have a chance to hear another one of these broadcasts, assuming I can nerve myself up to it. That's at 6 o'clock in the evening. We'll break with Don Caron of the Parody Project. What Does the Gun Say?, which is a parody of the song What Does the Fox Say?
A statement opposing increasing the age to purchase long guns simply because a two-year period doesn't solve psychosis. A two-year period doesn't solve psychosis. Solve psychosis. Solve psychosis.
What the gun say?
Washington,
ADR,
Garland, Texas, Fort Hood, Charleston, Boston, San Bernardino, Orlando, Parkland. Do you know what all of these mass tragedy incidents involve?
What the gun say?
FBI dropped the ball. FBI dropped the ball. FBI dropped the ball.
Alive, but a tiny time ago, now on the floor where there is blood, they are drowning in the flood.
How do we stop the flow of blood?
What does the gun say?
We will not be gaslighted into thinking that we're responsible for a tragedy that we had nothing to do with.
School security, the failure of family, the failure of America's mental health system, the failure of the FBI.
What the gun say?
Gun control wouldn't have prevented what happened.
Their goal is to eliminate the Second Amendment.
What the gun say?
To stop a bad guy with a gun, it takes a good guy with a gun. Schools must be the most hardened targets in this country.
What does the gun say?
Why you hoard your guns and store your protect against your rights and edge. What greater tyranny could there be to battle than murders of children? Monsters hold us.
Who made it this way? I want to know, I want to know, I want to know.
what does the dummy say? Okay, so I'm on the line here. Today is February 11th, 2020, and it's around 9:40. I'm talking to, who am I talking to?
This is Leonard right here.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing? Leonard.
Hey, Leonard, what's your status up there, and are you on in the midst of a protest? Or... where are you?
Oh, yes, sorry. I'm down at the base of campus right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, a lot of people here, the turnout has grown by the day. I'm going to put my friend on with you as well. She's going to introduce herself right now.
Sounds good.
Hi, I'm Robin.
Hey, is it Robin?
Yeah, this is Robin.
Hey, Robin. So, how long have you been there today?
We've been here for, I don't know.
Maybe we've been here maybe since about 8:30 in
yeah.
the morning.
Uh-huh. Are you well guarded by campus police?
There's a lot of them out here.
There are a lot of them out here.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we're well guarded. I would say that the campus is well guarded.
I got you.
The campus.
Yeah.
Are people from this side, from the town, able to reach you, or are they blocked by police from coming up there?
Standing in a lineup by the barn.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, yesterday, as I understand it, the police barricaded the place and also arrested at least one person and clubbed a few others, or do I have that wrong?
That's correct.
That's correct. Do you know who the person was that got arrested? I can tell you. We weren't there for that, but I've heard a little bit of information about it.
Do tell me about it, when it happened, if you can, who it was, and what happened.
So I'm not sure when it was exactly. It was definitely in the afternoon, but it was, from what I heard, and I saw it, like, on Instagram. I don't know if it's still up there. On either the Passmore Instagram or the Cola for All Instagram, I believe it was a student, but it was definitely someone from an organization called Food Not Bombs, and they were delivering water bottles to students.
Huh. With delivering water without a permit, eh?
I suppose. I'm not sure.
what more do you know about that?
That's all I really know, honestly.
Yeah, same.
Go ahead, Robin. Do you know anything?
I don't know anything more than what Leonard knows. We know the same.
Were you folks there, I should say, was anybody doing a camp out through the night, maintaining a presence throughout the wee hours?
I heard there was a little bit of people, maybe not a lot.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
no,
but I heard a little bit.
No further arrests, no further... Now, tell me about police action. Was there actually any actual brutality or police force used?
I mean, yesterday there definitely was, from a lot of the video that I saw.
Mm-hmm. What did you see?
I believe that after the student got arrested, some folks were kind of confronting the police nonviolently, and they were kind of pushing folks back with clubs.
Hmm. And did anybody get actually injured? Go ahead.
Definitely, like, pushing.
And was anyone injured?
I don't know firsthand, but I did hear that somebody has a concussion.
That sounds like an injury. Yeah. How long did the protest go yesterday? About what point did it subside, if you know?
Yesterday, I believe it started at about 7:30, and then I think it ended with a graduate student assembly at around, I want to say, yeah, it started at 4:30. I think it maybe ended around 5-something.
Okay, and you say today, how much of that protest were you there for yesterday?
Probably 3 hours.
And you, Robin? Okay, and that was a 3 hours, what, about from around the noon hour, or?
Morning, a little bit before noon.
Okay. And what are your plans for today?
Yeah, we're going to stick around and support her and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably meet some of our students, see what happens.
Okay. Has there been any media coverage of the protest that you've heard? Or is it mostly social media? How's that going? And where can people continue to follow what's going on?
So in terms of social media, the Instagram pages are very active. There's one called Pay Us More UCSC. So that one is, you can follow up a lot on the COLA campaign. There's one called COLA for All, and it's the number 4, not F-O-R, but the number 4. And that one is, in addition to being COLA, it's a lot of kind of other groups that are in support of COLA, such as some of the undergraduate activist groups. You can see the Black Student Union speaking on there. You can see Anna Klein speaking on there. The Worker and Student Solidarity Coalition speaking on there. So that one is overall very comprehensive.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And you asked about other media coverage, right?
Yeah.
So there was, so I've seen the New York Times. I've seen, I haven't really read it. On social media, are you familiar with the director, rapper, and activist named Boots Riley? He's an Oakland guy.
No, but I could become more.
Yeah, so he directed a movie last year called Sorry to Bother You, it was critically acclaimed. He was a rapper in the 90s group. His parents were left-wing labor organizers in Chicago and Oakland, and he shouted out support for the strike. Back in December, the magazine Jacobin did a piece on the strike. A graduate student, wrote an op-ed in the magazine called The Nation yesterday, I think. As far as negative coverage, I think there was a local news. There's a local news report that that somebody with their kids had been harassed by protesters or something like that. I'm new to the area, so I'm not sure what the name of the local outlet was. It was like KNIX8, something like that. I might have that wrong, but there was definitely like an 8 in it, and it seemed like a local news thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of. I think U.S. World News and Report did something as well. So there's been some coverage for sure.
Now you're down at the basic campus, and how many folks would you say are there now? Estimating?
Probably 150. There's a couple other people on the west side entrance of campus as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, when we got here at 8:30, there wasn't as many people, but then I feel like it's swelled up now, right?
Yeah, people are coming in much more rapidly now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From graduate students to significant others of graduate students to even
community members,
some kids, babies, dogs, all of that.
Huh. Are you getting much material support, like for, food, water? Do you anticipate having the same kind of problem today that the police provided yesterday?
Material support in terms of food and water. I mean, there's a table there with a bunch of, I haven't really checked it out yet, but I do see there's a bunch of like snacks and water and tons of water. On an agenda that was passed around, it said lunch. I've been to a lot of these on the base of campus, whether it was like the custodial worker strike and things like that. They're usually good about feeding people.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting support from other unions? Are they present?
I honestly can't answer that. I'm not sure about other unions.
Mm-hmm.
We do have support from other campuses. For example, Berkeley funded the porta potties for us out here. We've gotten lots of mentions of solidarity and lots of people who are standing with us from all around the state.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up to, I've seen a couple people from some of the lecturers' union. I don't know if it's like a union sanctioned thing, but a week before we started this, there were There were protests at Kerr Hall. A couple of them I went to, and the lecturers union said explicitly that they support us. Also, some of the AFSCME workers, like staff and like folks who work at cafeterias and whatnot. They spoke openly about their support. There's a lot of the undergraduate support is pretty amazing. A lot of kind of undergraduate activist groups that I mentioned before, like the Black Student Union, like Black Bayan, one of the biggest Filipino student organizations, undocumented student organizations. And there's a lot more that I'm leaving out student organization wise, but they're definitely out here. As a TA, and I think Robin can speak to this too, I've been getting a lot of support emails from students saying that we support you, you know, and a lot of other things, and I'm sure, have you gotten the same as well?
Yeah, I have had several students come out and show support and ask what they can do to stand in solidarity with us, to better understand the struggles that we're having, and our goals and means, and things like that. They're really invested in this larger project, and you know they understand that this extends so far beyond just graduate students. So this is a much bigger movement.
Mm-hmm. Today is a city council meeting. Is there any intention of marching into the city council in numbers and letting those folks hear about your concerns or not?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I haven't heard a lot about that. It might be there, but yeah, I haven't really heard a lot about that.
Yeah, not that they would listen, mind you. I don't have much confidence in that. A few of them might. There's the recall Glover and Crone movement here in Santa Cruz happening. Is there much presence of that? Any indications of concerns about that on campus?
At a lot of the rallies that I've been to, there's a couple students and even like older folks who I'm sure are community members. They always pass around the material and kind of tell us about that. There's a lot of one of the protests I went to last week. There was someone passing around like someone walking around with like a clipboard asking if we were registered to vote in the area and asking us if we know about the recall. So it's definitely being talked about in the circles for sure.
Mm-hmm. Are there any events planned for today coming up? I know there were a couple of assemblies yesterday that people should know about. This is not going to go out until Thursday, frankly, but for information at least of the people I talk to, it would be useful to know if any of that is happening.
Oh, yeah. I have the full agenda. I can take it out right now and kind of recite it to you.
Sure.
Yeah. I think Robin can pull it up right now. We're just kind of pulling. There's a lot of events kind of going on right now, so bear with us. We're just.
No, I understand. Is there much town participation in terms of? I'm just thinking, actually, the nearby neighborhood. Are you getting any response from people who locally living nearby or people on the west side?
We've seen some community members definitely. So we're at the base of campus, and as you probably know, there's a lot of kind of car traffic around here, mm-hmm. and it's been kind of like endless beeps of support. As far as explicit, well, what I do know is somebody sent me a photo of a church nearby campus, and the church is letting the cops use the parking lot for some reason.
Which church?
Do you know? Let me pull up the picture. Can we read the agenda first?
Yeah, please. Do that.
Yeah, so 7:30 to 9 this morning. Do you want all of it?
Well, starting at about 10 o'clock,
About 10 o'clock. Okay, so from 10 to 11, we have Sheikh on Indian Student Movement.
That's a professor in my department, history.
Mm-hmm.
11 to 12, we have this inflatable making workshop.
I have no idea what that is.
12 to 1, they will provide lunch.
This is all at the base of campus, yeah?
Yeah, it's all at the base of campus. 1 to 2 is a teach-in on COLA, debt, and housing.
Mm-hmm.
1:30 to 3 is a teach-in by...
Anik Bayan, USA.
And then 2 to 3, we have Professor of History, Miriam Davis, on Algerian student movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a meet and assess for everybody from 4:30 to 5:30.
Any plans for staying the night?
There might be some folks. So I can't confirm that. But there were some folks that I believe stayed over last night. So I would assume it's the same.
And the primary demands of the protest right now that would, let's say, end it tomorrow, if such a thing would happen, would be what? What if they were fulfilled, what would those demands be?
So it's so what we're what a lot of the campaign has been based on is a
being able to make a cost of living adjustment.
Cost of living adjustment.
Yeah, so possibly doing that via side letter to our current collective bargaining agreement, or through a variety of other programs that the university can and should present us with.
And we're asking for, the main thing we've been asking for is a pay increase by $1,412 for an adjusted cost of living, but it is extremely expensive to live here and perform our duties as not just even like TAs and, you know, research assistants and things like that, but just as kind of surviving day-to-day life.
Yeah, for example, my personal rent burden is over 70% of the money that I make from TAing here at the university.
How much of a rise is that from your current? And this is, what's your monthly salary, if you get anything, or annual salary, and how much more would it be with this raise?
Great question. So currently we make a little over $2,000 a month. This raise would increase that by $1,400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a significant increase, but it's something that we require in order to do this very important work that the university is tasked with.
What would the total cost of this be to the university? Are you looking for it all over at all campuses statewide? Are you looking for it simply here? What's the story?
I think initially we started the campaign just for our own campus, but this is something that affects all graduate students throughout the state of California. So I think our aim is much larger than it started off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and piggybacking off Robin's point, and Robin had mentioned this earlier, there are a lot of UCs that are now kind of starting their own. They're not just marching in solidarity. There's a couple of UCs, like I heard in Santa Barbara and even LA, like a lot of them have been saying on their own social media pages, which you can find them on Facebook. I think there's like UCSB for COLA. I think there's Davis for COLA. A lot of them aren't just saying, hey, let's march in solidarity, but like, let's get our own fucking COLA too.
Mm-hmm.
It's beginning to kind of spread.
And I assume the administration is pleading poverty?
At this point, I'm not sure that they've made any argument aside from the fact that they believe what we're doing is illegal or unsanctioned.
Huh. And what's your response to that?
It's not. I mean, very simply, it's not. It's fully within our rights as employees, as students, and this is something that feasibly can be done by the university.
So they're hoping you'll go away, get tired, and go home or something.
Can you say that again?
They're hoping you'll go back to class and, you know, with your tail between your legs eventually in exhaustion.
Perhaps.
Yeah. And I mean, piggybacking off that, you know, they try to use the word radical. This is the bare minimum shit. And this is especially from a university that kind of corporatizes and uses, you know, kind of sells its radical alumni like Bobby Seale and Huey Newton and Bell Hooks and Angela Davis. For them to kind of call this illegal or even radical is a shame, given the alumni that they love selling. They love putting posters up here. They love saying that this is a university that questioned authority. So I find it kind of ironic.
Is Angela Davis publicly supporting this protest?
She signed the she's a professor emerita right now. I believe she's in New York right now. So she signed a faculty support petition for the movement.
Mm-hmm. Are the faculty showing up for this thing? I saw two of them, but they were council members or former council members. Any non-politician faculty showing up?
Yes, especially from departments like psychology and sociology. We're having a really great turnout. Yesterday, the class that I TA for is a sociology course, and we actually had our course at the base of campus.
Very good.
And today, there's two folks from the history department that are speaking to the students about student movements all over the world and trying to contextualize the importance of this movement. I've heard of other professors from different departments as well, but Robin's right. It's a lot of sociology showing up, showing out. It's a lot of psych, right? You said.
Yeah, a lot of psych. Psych is really organized at this point. I know history of consciousness as well. We also have some really great turnout from folks in STEM, which is really fantastic.
Any homeless participation from homeless students?
Oh, I'm sure there are definitely some out here that are. There's definitely been some people who've spoken about it.
Mm-hmm. Was there? I understand Keith McHenry spoke yesterday at your 1 o'clock rally or thereabouts.
Let me add on to what I was saying. I was corrected by a colleague. There's a homeless students union, homeless persons union. Did they speak?
Yeah, they spoke at the first call.
Where will they be speaking?
They spoke at a couple of Cola for All rallies, and they've just been actively involved.
Oh, good. Is there much, are many local issues of the town mentioned, other than, of course, the obvious rent issue and the university's, you know, a grab of its impact on rents, but is there any other student concerns about the town that have come up that might be of interest, let's say, to bringing up at City Council today, which has an oral communications period at 7 o'clock tonight, where you can jump in for two wonderful minutes and talk to the council about real issues while they fritter away the rest of our time throughout the day with their own stuff.
So this hasn't been, even beyond the town, this hasn't been just a movement for students. A lot of us here are trying to stand up for custodial staff, for other workers around the university. And I mean, even this idea of kind of rent burden, the folks who really make the university run, blue collar folks, they're being priced out of this town. So even though this seems like a university movement, this is a kind of citywide movement. It's a statewide movement. And even with groups such as Anna Bayan, getting alongside us. And I mean, we got shout outs from universities in the UK that are on strike as well. This is far from just like a kind of in the town thing, even, you know.
This is going to be played on Thursday night. So going beyond Thursday, are there any events coming up forward that you want to let people know about that they will actually hear about through this broadcast?
Well, we don't know for sure. The agendas get kind of passed around. Late to us. Robin's going to get some information right now. We can come back to that question, but she's running to get information right now.
Sure, and I will be, you know, I'm going to give you my number here so you can call me and I can do updates as we get closer to Thursday. Also,
okay, that sounds great.
And let me, if you got a pencil, I think I gave you my card before, Carlos.
No, this isn't Carlos, this is Leonard.
Oh, I'm sorry, Leonard. Oh, I'll give you my information then. I'm with Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, as well as Free Radio. Number to call me at is 423-4.
All right.
Take your time.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Can you say that again?
Yeah, I can. The number is 423.
Okay.
4833. And that's
423. What's your area code? 831.
Correct.
Okay, so say that number again.
423.
4833. Thank you.
Now be advised. This is a landline. Doesn't take other stuff. So it's pretty primitive. If you want to reach me, you know, through other, you know, I have a friend at 246. You've got another moment.
That's okay.
246.
That's fine.
Okay.
Can a colleague of mine add something really quick? She'll introduce herself as well.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Hi, sorry to interrupt that. I'm Kaylee. I just wanted to add something about the other movements that the Bullet for All campaign is interested in aligning with that are local issues.
Okay.
And something that has been talked about a lot, aside from shelterlessness and houselessness, has been in the mental health so-called crisis and disability resources that are not accessible on our campus, and getting more mental health care to the city of Santa Cruz, which is, as I'm sure you've heard, is extremely overloaded.
Yep.
And the telecare, which recently bought out the behavioral health unit, only has 16 beds. Often people have to be hospitalized and transferred to San Jose or Sacramento. So I think that's also been a big focus of the Four for All movement, is just making accessibility and basic needs a focus for everybody.
Again, the name of this movement is?
It's COLA for All. Uh-huh. So it's basically, it's a side movement to the COLA campaign, which is focusing on getting a cost of living adjustment for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So faculty, staff, workers, students, and then extending that into the town so that we can get the resources that the university has to extend into the town more.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Friday, there's an undergraduate student assembly, and that's happening at the quarry on campus here.
Where is that going to be?
So the quarry on campus.
And is it accessible to members in the town?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. All right, what time is that going to be?
It's at noon.
Noon Friday at the quarry, and that's coming up. Any other events, you know, that are happening after Thursday night?
But, you know, every day things change here depending on our conditions and whether or not the university is willing to admit that they can work with us. So I would say stay posted. I think the Instagrams are probably the best way to stay involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also on Twitter and Facebook.
And the Facebook at COLA for All, though.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
So, there's the Shooting Up Moms thing.
Yeah, well, she had arrested and she has suspended before.
Okay.
The 14 days.
Okay, so I don't know if you got, that was more info on the student.
Rachel Lamb.
Her name is Rachel Lamb.
Rochelle.
Or Rochelle. She got arrested and yesterday and suspended from school this morning for 14 days. For 14 days. Was she with Food Not Bombs?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was with that organization I was talking about, Food Not Bombs.
And is she out of custody?
She was freed yesterday at 9 p.m., but this morning she received an email saying that because of her action, she's not allowed to be on campus. And, yeah, this is a person that's living on campus, lives on campus, depends on the university, you know, for survival or her, you know, reproduction, but she got the boot.
Is she going to be coming back to the protest, perhaps standing across the street with a lone picket sign, or?
Well, we'll hear from her soon. We'll hear from her soon. I know she's a little shook.
Yeah. No, I hear you. We're still talking to Leonard here?
No, this is Carlos right now.
Hey, Carlos. Then I'm going to give you a chance to conclude here, and thank you for it, and also thank you for looking for my property yesterday when I called you, which I left up there, and we found it. We came back, and some folks had simply put it aside, and you got a great lost and found up there. So,
okay.
Anything you want to say in conclusion or in addition?
No, I have complete trust in these folks, and we're good.
Well, you know how to reach me. You got my number, 423-4833.
Thank you so much.
And call me back if events develop. If you can't reach me, leave a message.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.